News with Nick. That was a sudden fade down because I don't have very much control of that slider and I don't have a mixer. If you want to donate a mixer to News with Nick, head on over to deathcast.com/Patreon/GoFundMe. Donate to them and say it's actually for a mixer for News with Nick. Not that laptop, right, everyone? All right. Are we recording yet? Oops. Hang on. Welcome, listeners of the video version. You are now here at News with Nick, a PCL production channel lingering of pukeandthegang.com/VIP. Thanks for coming out and watching. If you're listening live, don't know that anyone is because the chat is empty. But you're in for a treat today, and if you're not listening live and you're listening on the recorded, head on over to pukeinthegang.com, sign in with your VIP, and get the video version. Let's make sure that the audio version is also recording. It is. Ooh, let me up that a little bit. How about now? Check. Okay, cool. We're good. All right, we are actually lucky that this is even happening. 2 days ago, I was playing my Smite. Uh-oh, I admitted it. I played like a game of Smite. Right, I'm not as addicted as before, but I played one. So I was playing Smite, and I had up on my other monitor like a guide to Smite because I haven't played for so long that I needed help. And suddenly, in the middle of the game, my second monitor dies. And I'm like, that's weird. But the first monitor keeps going. Like, I'm able to finish the game. It's like, I don't know. It's like in Signs, when the lady was still alive long enough to say goodbye to Mel Gibson, and then she's like, ugh. Anyway, my computer, the second monitor stayed alive long enough to finish the game of Smite. As soon as I quit the game of Smite, everything crashed, and I couldn't boot again. I could boot only in safe mode, though. So I'm like, well, it's the display driver. So last night I spent like 3 hours uninstalling display drivers, installing them again, and taking my video cards out. Yeah, video cards. I'm pretty high-tech, folks. I got more than one in the computer. Anyway, the point is, taking them out, putting them back in, being like, what's going on? So my theory is maybe some powder got in the probably some powder got in the video slot, and then it was like, I'm not going to work anymore. There's powder in me or something. I don't know. So weird. All right, let's get into the first story. This is sort of an update from a previous story. The Florida teen accused of practicing medicine without a license in Florida has been arrested again, this time in Virginia, reports say. So he made it from Florida to Virginia, arrested. 19-year-old Malachi Love Robinson was arrested after employees at Cargar, what was I going to say? Kroger. Oh, Kroger. That's like the grocery chain. After employees at Cargar Motors car dealership grew suspicious when he and an elderly woman allegedly attempted to buy a Jaguar for $35,000, a Jaguar. After he completed an online... I didn't even know that those you could get for $35,000. That was like $210,000. After he completed an online credit application in which he listed the elderly woman on the application, who's this elderly mysterious woman? This is crazy. Workers searched his name online and found out about the pending cases against him. Investigators were then called, according to the station. The employees were concerned that Love Robinson might have been trying to fraudulently buy the car and stealing money from the woman he claimed to be his mother. A police spokesman told reporters. The dealership told Mr. Love Robinson that they would call him when his credit application was approved, and he left the dealership. After the employees contacted investigators, they called the 19-year-old back to the dealership, telling him that his application was approved. So, like, give me the phone. We're going to call that Jew Love Robinson. I don't think they said that part. It's like, hello, sir. Yes, we are definitely the credit company. Definitely not the police. Please come to the dealership. After the employees they called him when he got there. Police were waiting. So far, I don't know what's happened. Like, what crime has he committed? He went to a car dealership, filled out an application with an old lady, and that's it? Lev Robinson just told the deputies that he was trying to purchase two cars, one for himself and the other for his godmother. He allegedly told them that he had signed the loan and admitted to being out on bond for practicing medicine without a license. The woman then told deputies that she was a distant relative of his and that he considered her to be his godmother, according to WTVR. While she told investigators she did not feel as if she was in any danger, she was surprised to learn that the teenager had used her name as a cosigner on the Jaguar, and she had no intention to do so. So I guess that's a crime. You can't use someone else's name on a thing. When the dealership ran her credit, they found two other loan applications submitted in the last couple days with her information that she had not done, police say. Okay. So now he's submitting applications in Godmother's name. Love Robinson had been bragging to the employees of the dealership earlier that day about two iPads he had recently purchased. Who needs two? Why do you need two iPads, Puke? One for each his hand? They were seized along with other items at the time of his arrest. How? Were they in his car? He's just driving around with his two ipes? Love Robinson was charged with multiple counts, including identity fraud. He is being held at the Rappahannock Regional Jail with no bond. Rappahannock, sorry. This latest incident comes after he was arrested last month for allegedly writing a bad check for $1,500. This guy, I don't know what's gotten into him. I thought he was an up-and-up doctor. Now all of a sudden we're learning he's writing bad checks. He's trying to make fraudulent loans. Well, how did you even learn all this by 19? What are you going to, instead of playing World of Warcraft, you're out there doing a, how do I do godmother checks? Let's see what this video has to say.
Malachi Love Robinson, the 19-year-old, or as he's better known as Dr. Love, has swapped his doctor's coat for a prison suit, and he's not going to change anytime soon. I'll explain. So check out his mugshot now. The 19-year-old was arrested here in Stafford on Friday at a dealership. It's called Cargar Motors on Jefferson Davis Highway. He was arrested on three attempted fraud charges. So today's court hearing was supposed to be a bond hearing, but his attorney that was hired by the family had withdrew.
So if you're watching the video version, you can see all the pictures of him posing. Ooh, like I'm the black doctor, remember me? He poses with his staff. I still don't know how he got so much staff.
That bond motion, so we talked to that.
Maybe he's using ZipRecruiter.com. You can head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/pukeinthegang. Type in the PATG entry code. Get your ZipRecruiter. Shut up.
Attorney, outside of the court appearance today, here's what he had to say.
His Florida bond has been revoked. Based on my experience, there was virtually no chance that Virginia would grant him a bond under those circumstances. Demeanors is fine.
He's got the oldest lawyer. Who's hiring his lawyer? Is it the godmother again? This is crazy. Is he paying the lawyer with bad checks? Is this an never-ending stream of bad checks for Love Robinson? All right. In February, authorities in West Palm Beach Court... Oh, wait, we already knew about this. How he got arrested the first time. Carried out a sting in which an officer went and tried to get examined. All right. I'd go to Love Robinson for my rash, if you know what I mean. I had the weirdest dream last night. And every time I have weird dreams, I go, oh, my God, this is going to be great content for the show. And then it's not real life. But in this dream or whatever, I was like at this party or something, and I did something dumb, like crazy, obviously. So it's based on real life, but it was like off the charts. I don't even remember what it was. It was a series of things. I do remember one of the incidents. I was trying to get through this hallway, like into the kitchen or something, and there was this very fat, darker girl. And she was purposely like getting in my way, like blocking me with her big butt from getting through the doorway. And in my dream, I go, ah, why do you keep blacking me? I meant to say blocking me. And in my dream, I messed up and I said, why do you keep blacking me? And I went, gotta go. Oh, goodness. And then I like ran out of this party and I find Andrew and Puke. They're out in the streets. They've made some dinner or something and they got these plates and I'm like, we got to go. And I start like, I'm like, let's get to the car. And they're like, but we have our plates of food. And I'm like, well, too bad. Eat them in the car. I'll drive. You guys eat food because I got to get out of here. They're going to come after me in a second. I said blacking. Wow. All right. I don't remember what else happened, though. There was, like, other things. I don't remember any of them. Or maybe in my dream, I just thought there were other things and there really weren't. All right. Let's get on to the big story of the day. It has been a slow news week for the most part. This is why I haven't been able to do shows, because there haven't been any plane crashes or anything good. But, okay, let's see. Hillary Clinton returns, and not a moment too soon. Hillary Clinton returned to the campaign trail Thursday, 4 days after her near-fainting spell, with little room for another misstep. The moment she took the stage, Clinton addressed the topic that has overwhelmed headlines this Sunday, her health. She acknowledged to the Greensboro, North Carolina crowd that she's been forced to stay at home following her pneumonia diagnosis at such a crucial moment in the election, and that wasn't easy to stomach. As you know, I recently had a cough that turned out to be pneumonia. I tried to power through it, but even I had to admit that maybe a few days of rest would do me good, Clinton said. All right, let's see what she has to say here. Will this play?
I have to say it's great to be back on the campaign trail. As you may know, I recently had a cough that turned out to be pneumonia. I tried to power through it, but even I had to admit that maybe a few days of rest would do me good.
And that's exactly what I just read. I'm going to skip ahead.
To myself was actually a gift. I talked with some old friends. I spent time with our very sweet dogs. I did some thinking. You know, the campaign trail doesn't really...
Her dogs? You mean Bill Clinton? Okay, that was gay. Let's watch the video. How many people have been following this? This has been the most exciting news story all week, that Hillary Clinton got sick during the 9/11. Oops. Oh, did you guys hear about that mattress company that was like, we're going to have a 9/11 sale, and then they had to go out of business the next day or something? Anyone in the chat? Ooh, anonymous 6360. Oh, wait, 50. I have no glasses. Say hi in the chat. All right, let's watch this. So Hillary Clinton was at 9/11, and they're doing the memorial, and she's like, I feel overheated. By golly, please take me away. So they pull up a van that you could fit a wheelchair in and a coffin. I wonder if in the back they have a coffin and they're like, lay down in your bed, Hillary. Whatever. So, there's not... I'm going to turn the audio down because there's not much to hear. So, she's getting in the van and then she's leaning against a pole at first. And then she starts walking toward the van like a... I don't know how to describe it. Like an old lady. Most people would say, because they think they're being funny, oh, she's walking toward the van like a robot that's running out of batteries. And while that isn't funny, because it's too obvious, that is kind of what it looks like. She's very jankety, and then she almost falls as she gets into the van, and then they lift her in and throw her in. And then the conspiracy crowd went wild. They were like, oh my goodness, that's not pneumonia. She's got Parkinson's. She's got all sorts of things. Now, does she? Who knows? This is very exciting, though. She could have several problems that we don't know about. It is very strange, right? Because if she did have a huge problem, would they say? They wouldn't say. So, and then they're like, at first they were like, oh, she got overheated. 2 hours later, they were like, she has pneumonia. And then 2 hours after that, she comes out of the building, and people are just yelling at her. Here she is.
Oh, there she is.
Heads up, heads up.
Thank you, everybody.
How are you feeling, everybody?
She comes out of an apartment. It's a horrible, horrible quality, image. And they're just going to yell at her, and she's going to yell back and go, I'm feeling great. It's a beautiful day in New York. Okay. And then a girl runs up to her, and she's like, oh, hi, girl.
Feeling great. Feeling great.
What happened?
It's a beautiful day in New York.
So this like setup was very strange. They were like, okay, she's in the apartment. Let's set up a thing so she can come out of the apartment. She can wave at everyone. There's not going to be any Secret Service because there's like there's hardly anyone surrounding her in this picture. And she waves off to the side, and then this girl runs up to her. Like, how do they vet this girl? What if she's one of those killer girls? All right, we can't play that video. So, oh, crap. Did I have... Oh, here it is. And then I did some research, and I'm like, the six-year-old photograph of Hillary Clinton said she left Chelsea's apartment and says it was exciting.
We're learning more about the little girl who ran up to Hillary as she left Chelsea's apartment Sunday. She's 6 year old.
This video is much better quality. Apparently, my previous source was very bad, so that was my fault.
Irene Arisman. She lives right next door.
So she said, "Do you want to take a picture with me?"
And what did you say?
Yes.
And so you guys took this photo. There's you and Hillary Clinton. How exciting is that?
So exciting.
And what did you tell your family about this when they asked you?
That I was famous.
You're famous now.
Yep. So apparently, let's see. Hillary Clinton said, said to be doing fine. Sorry, apparently the girl lives next door, so maybe she was out in the streets and then the Secret Service was like, hey, Hillary Clinton's about to come outside. Do you want to go run up to her and say hi and we'll take a picture? And then it's like, well, if she had pneumonia, why is she taking a picture with a girl, with a little girl? It's like, oh, right. She can't possibly have pneumonia because that would be, I don't know. I don't know what to say. The point is she's got something, and I'm still, like, searching other stuff in the other window, so that's why I'm not sounding correct. I can't find the picture I'm looking for. Oh, wait, here it is. Is this it? Nope. All right. The point is, why is she claiming to get pneumonia but then going to a building that has, like, a kid in it and then meeting another kid on the street, and then it's like, well, do you want pneumonia, little kid? And then the conspiracy theorists are like, well, actually, the lady that came out of the apartment wasn't even Hillary Clinton. That was Hillary Clinton's body double. And they found this picture here that compares Hillary Clinton and Hillary Clinton's body double's fingers or whatever. Is this it? Or is this supposed to be disproving the theory? So apparently the theory was supposed to be, here's two pictures of Hillary Clinton and their fingers are different lengths. Although in this picture it looks about the same, although maybe not. So Hillary Clinton's like pointer finger and ring finger are the same length in one picture and a different length in another picture. And it's like, oh, it's a body double. Although these look kind of the exact same. So it probably really was Hillary Clinton coming out of the apartment. I wanted so badly for it to be like, oh, she actually died, and the reason she's not in the campaign trail for a couple days is that they're prepping the body double with a little bit of plastic surgery and a voice box adjustment, and they're going to have her come out and be like, I'm Hillary Clinton now. That would have been so funny. So Hillary Clinton faints, she comes back, and Donald Trump is neck and neck with her at the latest polls. This is going to be a close one, folks. It is not going to be a landslide for Hillary, I don't think. Maybe it will. Maybe it will be state-wise, but not popular vote-wise. But it hardly ever is, anyway. See what this is about. Woman marries daughter after the two hit it off. An Oklahoma woman married two of her biological children over the course of 8 years. Wait a minute. Two? What is this? Why is there a video? Police arrested Patricia Ann Spann and her daughter, Misty Velvet Spawn, sorry, Misty Velvet Dawn Spann, Wednesday, for incest. The two had gotten married in Comanche County, Oklahoma, earlier this year. According to WCMH-TV, Patricia Spann, who's 43, lost custody of Misty, who's 25, and two children when they were young. The three children were adopted by their grandmother. So the mom was, what, 18? And then lost custody. Patricia Spam told in, I keep saying Spam. Span told investigators she didn't have contact with her kids until 2 years ago. But when she was reunited with Misty, they hit it off. This is the, like the same thing as Brett was telling us about on the real, or was it, no, it was a news show, another PCL. He was telling us about the mom and a son that were estranged, and then they met up, and they were like, yeah, we really, I was really into my mom. This is not the first time Patricia Spann has married one of her children. Yes, court records show an annulment between Patricia and her son in 2010. The two married in 2008. Oh, my goodness. So if they married in 2008, that was 8 years ago, she would have only been 35. Wait, how old could the son have possibly been? What does she have him at, 16? Because 8 years ago, the girl would have been 17. Holy crap, this is amazing. She told officials she thought it was okay to marry her daughter because her name wasn't on her daughter's birth certificate, according to an affidavit. Let's see if there's an affidavit here that we can read. Mom, daughter charged with incest. Ooh, is this a video that we can play? Nope. It's completely different. In Oklahoma, marrying a close relative is considered incest whether the relationship is sexual or not. And incest is a felony punishable by 10 years in prison. Bond was set at $10,000 for both Patricia and Misty. Now look at this mugshot. They're both wearing a Superman shirt. How weird. Did they just dress the same that day? Or are they like, we're going into jail, we might as well look the same. And why does the daughter marry her mom? Why would you be like, oh yeah, that's pretty hot. That's really what I want to get into, is marrying my mom as a 25-year-old daughter. And what's going on with the son now? This is crazy. Detectives learned that she married her son in 2008. He filed an annulment in 15 months later, citing incest, stating that he married his birth mother. My goodness. All right. Well, that's pretty hot. So any information? This video here is just talking about how incest can happen. Accidentally? Accidental incest. Maybe they should have insurance for that. It's like, oh dear, you accidentally married your mom. All right, your insurance policy is going to kick in. Burp, burp, burp. Next story. Florida father arrested after toddler son dies in hot truck. See if the video has any information. I love playing videos. They are the best. A Florida father was arrested Friday and charged with...
Now, we've all been faced with this dilemma. You just want
to... Oh, cool. The announcer, I wanted to call him, the reporter is sitting in a car, and he's posing as a toddler. No, he's not. What if he was? What if in the back there was an adult baby, and he's like, Daddy, don't lock me in the hot car. I'm an adult baby. I want to go to Big Tykes. All right, let's see what the video says.
Now, we've all been faced with this dilemma. You just want to step outside of your car for a couple of minutes, run a quick errand, but you have a pet, a child, the elderly perhaps, in the vehicle. Don't do it.
You have a pet, a child, or the elderly.
Now, let's talk about why it heats up so much more rapid.
Nope, not doing it. We're not idiots. We know. Anyone who's over 2 years old knows that... The greenhouse effect. The sun goes in, it hits something, it tries to bounce out, but it hits the glass, so it bounces around. It's in, like, if you've watched The Magic School Bus, you know it. Troy Whitaker, 41, was charged with aggravated manslaughter. I'm so aggravated! That my son is dead! That's why he was got aggravated manslaughter. He left his Palm Harbor house Friday morning with his 5-year-old daughter and 23-month-old son. He said he dropped his daughter off at school but forgot to drop his son off at daycare. He ran errands around town and saw his son in the backseat of the Chevrolet truck in the afternoon when he went back home. Whitaker, who is a firefighter with the nearby Hillsborough County Fire Department, performed CPR on his son before medical officials arrived. The boy had an extremely high body temperature, and it was obvious he had been dead for a while. Wow, that is actually sad. But why is he getting charged? It was evident that he didn't realize the child was in the back seat until he arrived home from Publix. He was taking the groceries out of the front passenger seat and immediately dropped the bags. There were groceries all over the driveway. He then went and took the child out of the car seat. As you can imagine, he was extremely upset. Blah, blah, blah. So that sucks. I mean, if he did that, I guess, if it's legit that you didn't mean to, you're like, well, you're getting charged now, and now your wife has no husband, right? And your other kid has no dad. So that's not very, I don't know. It's not very helpful, I don't think. How's that going to deter other people from leaving their kids in their hot cars? You know, don't forget things. All right, we move on to one of the big stories this week that people do not like. They are very upset about this. Judge who asked an alleged rape victim why she couldn't keep her legs together might lose his job. A Canadian judge is facing the possibility of removal from the bench after he faulted a 19-year-old woman who said she was raped for not doing enough to defend herself during the alleged attack for suggesting that she wanted to have sex. According to a notice of allegations post on the Canadian Judicial Council website, his remarks in 2014 were, "Why couldn't you just keep your knees together? Why didn't you sink your bottom down at the basement so he couldn't penetrate you?" Young woman, the judge said, want to have sex, particularly if they're drunk. He also said that pain and sex go together. Oh man, this is the most evil judge we've ever seen. I can't believe he would say that to a girl. Well, yeah, he is probably a shitty judge. Let's read the transcript. So everyone's... Oops, wait. Again, I got another page here. Doop, doop. Everyone's all up in arms because they take this one clip of him saying, why didn't you keep your legs together? And they're like, wow, I can't believe that's a quote. Well, I mean, it is a quote, but it's in context of something else. And I actually don't have it loaded up somewhere else, which is a little embarrassing. So we need to wait for this to download, but it will be done in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right, so let's start the transcript. The question was... Okay, hang on, let's go back up. Do-do-do-do-do. So we've gotten to the point... So what happens, apparently, is the judge was asking questions of the person on the stand. Now, I didn't know that this was a thing you could do. It's not really that common in America, at least as far as I've seen. I thought most of the time the judge listens to questions from the lawyer, the witness answers, and then the judge makes a decision. But this is Canada, so maybe they do things differently. At a certain point, the judge begins to question the witness on the stand, who is the accuser of this rape, right? And up to this point in the story, she's gone into the bathroom. A man has followed her into the bathroom. She's drunk. He's probably also drunk a little bit. And he has put her somehow up on a sink, right, in the bathroom. He goes, there's two taps, right? She says, yes. And he says, so your buttocks would have been in the basin. She says, yes. He says, that means your buttocks were lower than your thighs because your bottom was hanging down into the basin. She says, yes. So he's picturing her butt sitting in a sink, basically, and her legs coming up out of the sink. He says, so the lip of the basin would have been between you, between your vagina and the accused's penis. She says, yeah, but he was licking my vagina. The judge says, all right. She says, sorry. Then he says, but when he was trying to insert his penis, your bottom was down in the basin, or am I wrong? She says, my vagina was not in the bowl of the basin when he was having intercourse with me. He says, all right, which leads me to the question, why not? Why didn't you just sink your bottom into the basin so he couldn't penetrate you? So he's saying, the judge is saying, if you really didn't want it, all you had to do was slide backwards and he couldn't get at you, right? And she says, I was drunk. Now, I'm not a girl that's in a basin or in a bathroom, so maybe it's like, well, if you fight off the person who's doing this to you, it's like, well, that will make it worse, right? So that could be one argument. I'm not gonna try to get away. He's just gonna force me to do whatever he wants. And then he says, I was drunk. And then he says, And when your ankles were held together by your jeans, your skinny jeans, why? I don't know why he says skinny jeans, but whatever. Why couldn't you just keep your knees together? So he says, if you didn't want it, why didn't you close your legs? Why are your legs apart if you didn't want it? And then he says, you're shaking your head. She says, I don't know. He says, okay. And then you went to sleep on the floor of the kitchen. So that's the end of that. That's actually the end of that transcript. So that's basically what happened. He didn't just go, stop. Why didn't you just keep your knees together? Continue. And what does he do about pain? So he's talking to the lawyer of the accuser, and she says, she did say that she was in, because he's saying things like, I didn't hear anything during the testimony that said she had expressed she didn't want it, that expressed she felt bad. And then the lawyer says, well, she said she was in pain. And the court says, well, you know, this pain and sex sometimes go together. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Hmm? He says, I'll grant you that the implication from her was that she wasn't enjoying the pain. I'll grant you that. So he says that. And it's like, okay, well, what actually was the outcome of the case? So now we're all upset because this guy said, keep your knees together. And the outcome of the case is at the end of the transcript, and it goes, I'm going to give you a long decision, but you've been waiting a long, so he's talking to the kid who did the sex thing, right? I'm going to give you a long decision, but you've been waiting for a long time, so I'm going to tell you straight away that I'm finding you not guilty. And now I want you to sit there quietly and try to listen and understand what I'm going to say. A lot of it is really important, and just sit there for now. I'm going to be talking for probably 3/4 of an hour. Now, I don't have 3/4 of an hour to be reading this, so we're not going to be reading most of it. There's a 1,036-page document here you guys can look up, and this is this includes the transcript of the original case, and this includes stuff about the following case that's trying to get him disbarred, or whatever the Canadian version of disbarred is, based on him saying, why can't you keep your knees together? Which I don't know if that was completely out of line. It was a little insensitive. Maybe. But this was a case of some guy being drunk, right, and being a dumb man who's like, I'm drunk and I want to do it real bad. Here's this girl. She's in the bathroom. So he starts doing things to her, right? And she doesn't necessarily say, go away. She doesn't necessarily say, stop, I hate you. Or if she does, she doesn't say it very aggressively. So it doesn't register in the drunk brain. That's not an excuse, right, everyone, I guess? But at the same time, it's like, well, she's not pushing me away, so maybe that means she wants it. So I continue to do it. Yeah. That's not the case. All right, here's what the judge says. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying right at the beginning. The law and the way people approach sexual activity has changed in the last 30 years. I want you to tell your friends, your male friends, that they have to be far more gentle with women. They have to be far more patient, and they have to be very careful to protect themselves. They have to be very careful. The law in Canada today is that you have to be very sure before you engage in any form of sexual activity with a woman. Not just sex, not just oral sex, not even just touching a personal part of a girl's body, but just touching it all. You've got to be very sure that the girl wants you to do it. Please tell your friends that so they don't get upset, so they don't upset women, and so they don't get into trouble. We're far more protective women, young women and older women, but not middle-aged women, apparently, than we used to be, and that's the way it should be. So after this, I'm going to be talking in more technical terms, but that's the message I want you to take away and tell your friends. And of course, it's far more difficult if you're high, or if you're drunk, or if she's high, or if she's drunk, but you've got to be really sure that she's saying yes. Her keeping quiet isn't enough. That's not necessarily a sign of saying yes. So remind yourself every time that you get involved with a girl from now on and tell your friends, okay, the judge says. Then he found him not guilty. That is the story of the judge with the knees. Now we move into the lightning round, where we're going to do four quick hit stories here that were not that great, but we're going to read them. California high school student's grade lowered for sitting during Pledge of Allegiance. Yikes! She's pulling a Kaepernick. California high school student is expressing her displeasure after being docked off points for her grade for not standing for the pledge. Some girl named Leilani has been sitting during the Pledge of Allegiance since the second grade, and this is the first time that a teacher has taken action because of it. So these teachers, they're all human. They've all got their own stupid opinions, and sometimes those stupid opinions are, if you don't stand for my country, I'm not going to stand for your country. And by country, I mean grade. I'm going to give you an F. The high school teacher docked points off her participation grade for her silent protest. She told me I was being disrespectful, and I was pretty mad. She was being disrespectful to me also, saying that I was making bad choices and I don't have the choice to sit during the pledge. So this makes national news just because of something stupid. Some stupid teacher going, you're getting points off. Obviously, it will be reversed because the Supreme Court has ruled that you cannot do that, that you're allowed to protest. You're allowed to not participate. Man pushes girlfriend from plane, saves her life before dying in crash. Friends and family of a man who died in a plane crash are calling him a hero after he saved his girlfriend's life moments before the crash. Brianna Davis bought her boyfriend, Reginald Hillard Jr., a trip in the Cessna aircraft for his birthday. Never get in a Cessna, by the way. Cessnas are the number one plane to crash, right? It's like every time there's a plane crash, it's like, oh, it was a Cessna. Hillard was terrified of flying, but he didn't want to pass up the experience, and he was willing to take the challenge to make his girlfriend happy. That sucks. Imagine, you're like, I am very scared of this Cessna right now. Let's get in. And it's like, actually, we are crashing. And they're like, well, I knew it. I knew we would. While they were up in the air, the pilot hit a rainstorm. Officials said the pilot, who has not been identified at this time, was experienced, but he didn't call for help. His body was found buckled in his seat moments before the plane crashed. So it's like coming down toward the ocean. Hillard pushed Davis out of the plane into the lake, and she was the only survivor. And the yacht picked her up and took her to the hospital. That's crazy. I can't believe you can fall out of a plane into the water and then be fine. When you like skip across the water, you're going like minimum, you're going 50, right? You're probably going like 75 in a Cessna. I know these values because I've played Plane Simulator, so I'm an expert. I've never been in a Cessna, obviously, because no one should get into one of those. I practice what I preach, and I'm terrified. He's the hero. He was a hero living, and you know he died that way. If he pushed her out, why didn't he just, like, jump out himself? Or was he like, I'm too scared to jump, so see ya. Maybe he was trying to do the reverse. Maybe he was trying to kill her before the plane crashed. Be like, you made me get into this plane. Get out of here. Whatever. Transit officer's quick action saves man from path of oncoming train. A New Jersey transit officer was faced with a difficult decision. Let go of the man lying in the tracks as a train barreled toward the station, or pull hard one last time and get them both to safety. Officer Victor Cruz is now being hailed as a hero. We got a lot of heroes going on today. For pushing a suicidal man in front of a train to help him. No, for pulling a suicidal man off the train tracks. He was at his regular patrol Friday morning when he received a call of a disturbance on a train. A disturbance on a train? I waited for the train to come in, and before the conductor could tell me what the problem was, the individual exited the train. He said, so there's a man on the train. He gets off the train. I asked the individual to take a seat. The man said, no, I'm not going to jail. And then he jumped down onto the track. Ortiz tried to talk to the man, but to no avail. As soon as I was able to find the right angle, I jumped down onto the tracks. The entire incident was caught on surveillance video. The man just kept saying, I just want to die. I just want to die, Ortiz said. There's a moment on the video where the man pulls Ortiz in. I thought, I have to let go. Then I said to myself, I'm going to pull one more time. So let's watch this video. So you're going to have to watch the video version if you're going to see this. But there's the officer. He's standing next to the train tracks, and he's pulling on a man who's just lying in the train tracks. He's so fat. I mean, he's not so fat, but he's like, maybe he's 200, 210. Ortiz struggled to remove the man and eventually handcuffed his wrist. Ow. So he's pulling. The man's being all lazy and shit. He's like, no, I just want to get run over by the train. The train's coming, right? I just kept pulling and pulling. And now, if you're watching the video, the man actually helps get off the track. This man was not suicidal. This man was a very, this man was an attention whore. He's laying on the tracks going, no, no, the train is coming. I don't want to move. There's no way that this guy would have been able to pull him off if he'd really wanted to. But if you watch the video, the man is laying in the tracks, right? And then at a certain point, right before the train's about to come and the officer's still pulling, the man swings his right leg over the edge of the one rail, right? So now that leg's on the other rail, so he gets some leverage, and he helps the officer roll him off the tracks. He didn't have to put his leg there. He did not have to. Nobody was forcing him to put his leg there, and that him putting his leg there was the only reason that he was able to get out of the path of the train. And then literally 2.5 seconds later, the train comes by at full speed. If you're a train conductor, are you done like with this emergency brake thing? Are you just like, I don't know. They're on the tracks again. I'm not even stopping. I don't got time for this. I don't think you can do that, but yeah. Yeah, this is that man, I mean, I guess good for the officer for getting hero status, but that was just a suicidal man. That was just a man who wanted a little bit of a sympathy. He's like, I'm going to get arrested, so I might as well do the I am mentally ill and suicidal thing. Let's watch one more time. He's getting pulled. Yeah, the guy helps. There's no, yeah, whatever. If you really wanted to get run over by the train, there'd be no stopping. Like, that man did not get superhuman strength and pull that guy off. He helped. All right. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un bans sarcasm. I can't find a good source for this because I'm trying to read it. I'm now reading it from foxnews.com, but the first sentence says, North Korea's crackpot dictator Kim Jong-un has banned the people from using sarcasm. If you start your story with North Korea's crackpot dictator, whether or not it's true, I don't know if you're going to put that hyperbole in your first sentence. I don't know how to read the rest of it. Like, maybe the rest of it's not even real. Anyway, he says he's banned sarcasm from their everyday conversations in a fresh crackdown on criticism. Mass meetings of organized government officials have been used to issue a chilling warning that ironic statements will not be forgiven. Oppressed and starving workers have been told satire directed toward the regime or indirect criticism hidden behind humor will be seen as hostile actions. So if they go to work and they go, "Hey, Jim, we love Kim Jong-un, right?" And Jim goes, "Yeah, Joe, it's Monday, and we love Kim Jong-un. He is the greatest leader of all time." Did I say Joe and Jim? Well, whatever. The point is, then they go, "Yeah," and they high-five, and like, "Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-un." They would do it over and arrest him and be like, "You're being sarcastic. You're going to the sky cells." Whatever the heading that Game of Thrones, when you look over the edge, you're like, "I'm in the sky cell." Among the phrases outlawed by Kim Jong-un are, "This is all America's fault," a jibe at the paranoid regime's obsession with blaming the U.S. for its own failings. I don't even know that that's true. Do they do that? I don't like this guy's writing. We're out of here. All right, we are coming toward the end of the show because I'm running out of time. This is a story that just broke today, and I'm not finding very many sources on this either. The Village Voice is really the only one that has this story, but it is a top story right now. Let's see. This past week, the NYPD made an $18,000 from a man in the South Bronx for the dire crime of having a pocket knife. In a tweet sent out Sunday by the police, the unit said that patrols... unit that patrols public housing, the department gloated that they had arrested a male for a gravity knife and vouchered $18,000 cash for forfeiture. So the story basically is he had a pocket knife. Why did they take $18,000? A law passed in the 1950s designed to outlaw large switchblade-like knives has increasingly been used to arrest people for common folding knives, as is the department's want. The vast majority of so-called gravity knife arrests have focused on people of color. The result is that thousands of people every year are arrested for having knives that are widely available at reputable retailers in the city, which they have no idea could land them in jail. It is not clear why the $18,000 was seized to begin with, and the NYPD didn't respond to requests for more information about the arrest. But if it's like the tens of thousands that have happened in the city, it almost certainly involves simple possession of what appears to be a relatively unremarkable pocket knife, not a true gravity knife. Gravity knives are almost extinct on the modern market. How do you know if your knife is a gravity knife? Drop it, and does it fall? If it's an anti-gravity knife, it will not fall. I have no clue. You guys want an update on Timothy Madden? This is a story that we followed many months ago. He went to a football game, girl turned up dead, and they accused him of killing her, even though the only evidence so far is that his blood or his clothes were on like a trash can. The only update is that his pretrial hearing is scheduled for November, or it was scheduled, but now it's been rescheduled for November, so we'll follow up on that later. Anyone who watched the Olympics and needs more, I don't know if you guys know, the Paralympics are going on. Now, you probably did know this, but have you ever seen the Paralympics? I was looking up some Paralympics last night. I was like, what is going on? Because there was this big story that came out that was like, oh my God, the 1500-meter Paralympic was actually faster than the 1500-meter Gold Olympic. And had these Paralympic runners been running at the real Olympics, they'd have won the gold. I can't believe they weren't allowed in the real Olympics. Well, okay, so the truth is, the race at the Paralympics, at the 1500-meter track event, was faster than the gold at the Rio Olympics. But if you watch the gold at the Rio Olympics, you'd know that the first two laps of that race were very slow. I may not have been able to keep up with two laps of them, but had I sprinted one of the laps, it's possible that I could have kept up with them for one lap. The point is, they took the first two laps slow because it was a tactical race. You know your opponents, and so therefore you run a certain pace based on your opponents. And if you think you're a better sprinter, you try to make the pace slower and out sprint at the end. If you think you're a better distance runner, you try to start faster and set the pace fast. But in pack running on a track, it's very tactical, and the goal is to come in first, not to necessarily break world records. So yeah, the Paralympics ran it quicker, but it's really no comparison. So if you see that story, immediately slap whoever said that and say, tactical racing, I don't know. I hate running, it's stupid. So, but here's an event. It's called the Women's 200-meter T11. So I've been looking this up. They have all these classes. So this is way more complicated than the regular Olympics because in the Paralympics, everyone's got a different disability. So you've got to classify people. How long must that take? Anyway, so T11 is a version of visual impairment. So is like is it 16 or 13 or something? There's another form of visual impairment. They're not visually impaired enough to need help. They can still see the track. They're just a little bit blind. Now, these people, T11, they are blind. And just to make sure they're blind, they are blindfolded. Oops. So they're walking up to the blocks, and each of them has a guide, like a person helping them. So it's like,
she went before the bay of the bank.
Here's the blocks. Put your feet here. And then each girl's left hand. Oh no, the guide is putting her fingers down on the on the starting line. And then in each girl's left hand, they're holding this like plastic ring, right? And then next to them is a man who obviously can run faster than them because men can always run faster than women. And there's a man on their left side that's supposed to be their guide. So the girl's gonna run, and the guy is just gonna run with them and tell them when like the turns are coming.
Luke
Let's watch.
The Asian and world champion is in lane 5, and Libby Clegg, the world record holder, is in lane 7. The final of the women's 200 meters, T11. And now they are away. Very good start by Clegg in 7 and Liu in 5.
They're running almost perfect. Like, they could do three-legged races. They're in such sync.
Do playing catch up in lane 1, that big gap with Guillemina.
It must be hard to run with someone holding, like, a ring in your left hand. Because your arms have to do this. Like, they have to swing, so that person's arms also have to go in the exact
now,
same
out of the race.
Pace.
Lou turning, Clegg is leading.
Oh, she went over the line. Disqualified. What if that was true? What if you went over the line, you get disqualified? I bet you do if you go over the inside line, but that's why the guy is there, to run the inside line so you don't accidentally. And they don't pack the course either. So in the track, there's 8 lanes or whatever, maybe 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 8, I think. If they had a blind person in every lane, they'd be like bumping into each other. So they have 4 people running. And actually in this race, they only had 3 because one of them false started. I don't even know how you false. Well, I guess you'd know that the gun is coming, so you take off, right?
The final straight. It's Libby Clegg for Great Britain. Lou trying to fight back at 5. It looks like it's...
The guys are just jogging along like, ho-hum, this is very easy.
It's going to be Libby Clegg's night. She's going to do the double, and she's done it in 24:51.
Holy crap. A 224 seconds. That's still really good.
It's a Paralympic record. Guillemina's lost that. But it's gold for Clegg. She's done the double in Rio.
I'm so blind. Yes. I can't even see the gold. But I can feel it in my heart. Yeah, 24 seconds. That's pretty good. I can't run that for a 200. You think I could? If I was real, I could make... Nah, I can't. I don't think I can. I think my limit might be 29. At a full out. One off, yeah. So anyway... And then, okay, so I'm like, wow, well, that's pretty interesting. So they have the blind running, and then they've got some other things. Don't look at this. This is disgusting. I'm taking a huge risk here. Even looking at this, I'm about to vomit. This is the men's 50-meter freestyle in the category called S3. Now, I don't even know what that means, but I don't even know how you have a freestyle when you've got no arms. Oh, my God. There's this guy. Oh, he's being picked up. All he is a torso and a left leg. I'm not even joking. And a head, I guess.
Tronco just helped to the starting blocks.
And then there's this other guy. He has arms, but his elbows are bent the other direction from what they're supposed to be. So he's a I don't know how to describe it. He's not a T-Rex, but he's like, his elbows are T-Rexy, and then the rest of his arm is like reversed. Like, how is this fair? Yeah, I have no arms. I have one leg. I've got 2 arms, but they bend the wrong way. Another guy maybe has only one leg missing. He's probably going to do the best. So I'm watching this. Like, one of them falls in. I'm like, oh my God, he fell in. He fell in. Like, in real life, if someone like this fell into the water, the lifeguard would jump in immediately, because there's no way that man can swim. Oh, God. So they all start in different positions. Some of them start up on the diving board, and some of them start in the water already. See, that guy looks relatively normal. Oh, my God, I'm going to throw up. Oh, God. He's literally a blob with a leg. So they go, ready, and go. And go. There they go.
So a clean start there, and the crowd absolutely loving these 50-meter dashes. And at the early stage of the race, it is Huang Wenpan, who, as expected, will be challenging for the gold medal in this event.
Now, the first couple people in the race look completely normal. They look like completely normal swimmers.
Tempo, but because he's getting such length in his stroke, he's getting excellent catch.
Now this man's gonna break the Paralympic world record, but that's not necessarily fair. He just happens to have less disability than whoever else broke the world record before.
Ahead of world record time, would you believe? What a great achievement in heat 2. So Huang Wenpan will go through in world record time, showing
so he gets the world record. And now one-legged man is still going. He's way behind.
What you can hear is a huge cheer for the 2 remaining athletes in the pool. So that's Tronco.
So at first I was watching, I was like, wow, one-legged man is really behind. But he made it all the way. And then there were like 2 remaining athletes in the pool. One of them is so far behind, he's not even in the frame.
Mexico.
They have to cut to another camera.
In 6th position.
He made it like 10 feet. What is this guy's? He must have the arm thing.
And we still have.
Can you imagine? Your arms are bent the wrong way, but you still lost. But at least you have them, and you lost to a man who is a torso with one leg. The sad part is, torso with one leg man can probably swim faster than me. How crazy. Oh, my God. All right. Maybe he's swimming with it. Maybe he's trained his urination hose to be a propeller. Oh, God. It's so disgusting. And then they've got the wheelchair. They've got the wheelchair event, which is actually pretty boring. But it's actually got to be hard to run these wheelchairs. You've got to whip your arms down into these wheels. So everyone who's doing wheelchair racing, they're probably like very muscular. And truth is, if you want to be a wheelchair champion, you probably have to cut your own legs off. Like, you don't need that extra weight. Can't use them anyway. Can you please get the rest of these legs off so I can win the wheelchair championships? I don't know. So that's about it for this news with Nick. Watch the Paralympics if you want to watch more from Rio. It's actually the exact same facilities, so whatever. It's just the crowds are completely empty. I wonder how much it is to get in to watch the Paralympics. Probably free. What if you were in there like, oh, God, I'm going to vomit. Look at that man with no arms. Holy crap. All right, anyway, this has been News with Nick. It is now 7 a.m., so I need to get ready for the other things in life. And hope my computer does not explode between the time I publish or save this and then need to publish it. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for subscribing to the PCL. Please write in your favorite news stories to pukeinthegang.com/email. Wait, no, pukeinthegang at gmail.com. Wait, sorry, show at pukeinthegang.com or show at patgpodcast.com. There, that is the correct, that's the correct addresses. All right, cool. News with Nick, thanks very much, and all hail the Hillary body double who will take over for us soon. Yeah.